This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina education leaders are proposing dramatic changes to the state's public education system. A group tasked with retooling the Common Core standards met yesterday to present their preliminary recommendations. The commission was created by the state legislature last year. North Carolina adopted Common Core in 2010 and began implementing it into classrooms in 2012. WUNC education reporter Rima Crace was at yesterday's meeting and joins us now. Welcome back, Rima.
Hi, Frank.
Remind us again, what is Common Core?
Common Core. So when it came about a few years ago, when the idea came about, it was to essentially level the playing field. That's what advocates said. So to create these national standards so that if a kid is in Ohio in the middle of the year, he moves to Kansas, he'll still be on the same page as his peers and he won't fall behind. And so these are math and English standards, and they don't necessarily tell teachers this is how you're supposed to teach and these are the activities you're supposed to do. They tell teachers what goals students should know by the end of the year and each grade level before they can graduate on to the next year. So like you said, these have been in our classrooms since 2012. And we'll get to this in a little bit, but rollout was, you know, not necessarily the strongest, and lots of folks started getting upset with them for many reasons, and which has now led us to this.
Right. And as you point out, it's not a curriculum. It's not a how to teach. It's just a standard. How far are you testing kids along the
right
way to see?
And exactly. And they created them because they said, we want to create high and rigorous standards and that are better than most of the states, and we'll be able to compete with other nations.
Right. So now tell us why North Carolina signed on.
Well, you know, this is a little bit controversial. You know, North Carolina leaders will say, you know, we signed on because these, in theory, are supposed to be more rigorous and tough, more tough than what we've had before. But you'll hear a lot of critics say that, you know, maybe they were a little bit more motivated to adopt the standards because the federal government said, hey, states, if you all adopt these standards, you'll be more likely to get these federal grants, millions of dollars worth of grants. And in this competition called Race to the Top. So if you're in this competition and you can prove that you have really high but, like, you know, ambitious but achievable plans for education reform, then you're more likely to get this money.
All right. So a variety of reasons. There may have been a carrot attached. There was some sense that maybe it's a higher standard and why not do that? 2010, the state adopts them. 2012, they're implemented. So why now are we talking about revising them?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, this really became not just a state topic, but a national topic. You know, we heard from a lot of Tea Party activists who said that, as I said before, that the federal government is too involved in creating these standards. And, you know, to be clear, these were created by, or it came about from a group of governors and superintendents and nonprofit organizations. It's not a product of the Department of Education. But, you know, I heard state legislators saying, you know, at one point they supported these standards, and then all of a sudden they started retracting those statements because of those reasons. They said that the standards were not clear enough. They weren't concise. You know, there were complaints about children coming home not understanding how to do the homework, parents not understanding the homework. Louis C.K., comedian, started referencing these standards. Anyway, so then all of that came, all of that led to this commission that is now going through these standards and seeing what we should do with them. I spoke with Andre Peake. He's a retired IBM executive and chairs the commission. And he says revising the standards or rewriting them is a process.
We're not having a discussion or debate about Common Core or not. What we're having is a discussion on what recommendations can we make to give our students the best set of standards available that teachers can actually use and deliver upon and do it effectively.
So he says that it's the commission's job to go through standard by standard and see which ones are great, which ones are not, and try to fix them. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're ditching Common Core, keeping it. I mean, it's just a process. And it's important to note that the state is also going through the process of reviewing the standards. They do that every few years.
Right, tell us who else is on this commission. What's the makeup of the commission?
So there's the former IBM executive. There are folks from local and state boards of education. There's a high school principal, a teacher, local education leaders, a retired professor. So a good mix. It's 11 people.
So yesterday there were also people there who helped sort of explain Common Core and as well as child development and brain development. right?
Yeah, exactly. So since this commission came about, they've been inviting experts, they've been surveying teachers to see what these standards are all about. And so yesterday they invited this woman named Carol Artizone. And she was saying, you know, she was explaining to them how the brain develops. She was showing them all these diagrams and these PowerPoints and saying that, you know, looking at the way the brain develops, it's clear that some of these standards are not necessarily developmentally appropriate. So she referenced one standard, and I'll read it right now just so we get an example of what these standards do or what they say. Mm-hmm. And so this one's for first graders. It says, write opinion pieces in which they introduce the topic or name the book they are writing about, state an opinion, supply a reason for the opinion, and provide some sense of closure. So that's what first graders are required to do. And this is what Artizone had to say about that.
Write an opinion. Do you know what high-level thinking that is? For you to take somebody else's thought or ideas and write your opinion when a child doesn't even know for sure what an opinion is?
We have people in the legislature who can't do that.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
That's a little mean. But Artizone, she is a former educator, and she also helped write the standards for New York at one point. But she's basically saying that you shouldn't use the word, this is what she thinks, you shouldn't use the word opinion in a standard for six-year-olds. She says, you know, a six-year-old can say that she or he likes riding roller coasters or likes cookies, and that's maybe considered an opinion, but they're saying that some of these standards are too wordy, and
well,
that doesn't
say,
equate rigor.
Yeah, to get to that point, because actually a six-year-old does understand what an opinion is.
Sure.
Absolutely. And if the state lawmaker doesn't, that speaks more to their intelligence than the six-year-old child. But I guess what she was saying, not that that a six-year-old child is incapable of sorting, defining the difference once you talk to them about it, between an opinion and a fact. But the language in the question was not appropriate for that level. But once you get the language right, yeah, you better hope that a six-year-old can figure that out, right?
And that's one of the biggest complaints, that these standards are too wordy, and that doesn't mean that they're necessarily rigorous.
So tell us about some of the standards now. It looks like there would be, under the draft recommendations, some pretty substantial changes, at least in math, right?
Yeah, so these are all draft recommendations, all ideas of how we can change these standards. In math, they proposed essentially ditching the kindergarten through 8 standards and actually adopting Minnesota's. They don't have Common Core, but they said that Minnesota's standards are clear and concise. And some of these folks on the board said that the current standards do a poor job with things like fractions and probability and statistics. And then they also proposed rearranging some of the math classes in high school so that they're better sequenced.
How about English?
So English, there's, you know, lots of problems with that, according to them. They say that there are too many standards to fit a school year. Again, this idea that they're not developmentally appropriate. They say that writing is no longer a huge priority as much as it used to be. But that's always, I think, been a problem. And, you know, there are some good things about it. They said that they like that it focuses on academic vocabulary. They say that they like that it focuses on nonfiction. So, you know, just overall this idea of making them more concise and coming up with minimum goals for each one so you're not just stuffing a bunch of things into standards.
So there were people there at this meeting yesterday, and you talked to some of them. What are people saying about Common Core, voters in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, the audiences for these meetings have actually been very thin. The only reliable folks or audience base that they're getting are this group of conservative critics. And they always sit at the front row, sort of nodding in agreement. Kim Fink was one of them. She's a grandmother who's part of a group called the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association.
My biggest thing initially was that it's a federal overreach into state sovereignty. This is states' rights. Education is states' rights. There's 3 federal statutes that prohibit federal intervention. And then we started looking at the math because we started hearing from, like, second-grade parents that their kids couldn't do the math. Was like an onion. The more layers you peeled, the more disgusting it got.
So again, this idea that some critics still associate it very heavily with the federal government, which, like I said before, they don't necessarily come from the government. In the back, there is this one teacher who was sitting to check out, and he wanted to check out the meeting, Ned McMillan. He's a 4th and 5th grade math teacher who retired last year. And he says the state should make tweaks and not completely give the standards a facelift.
Common Core came along at the right time. The curriculum that we had before Common Core was not as rigorous as it needed to be. It was basically too easy for the kids. And you could see it in our state test scores, how we were comparing to other states. So it needed to be upgraded.
And that just shows that, you know, lots of teachers and lots of other folks do support these standards.
So where do we go from here? And what about the cost? Suppose these draft recommendations were to be approved. It goes to the state legislature, these recommendations ultimately.
Yeah, exactly. So these recommendations, the final ones, they'll keep working on them, and they're going to present them in front of teachers to see what they think. And it'll go to the State Board of Education. And they ultimately have the final say. So
is it the state, and to clarify this for us, a State Board of Education or the legislature? Do we know sort of how those responsibilities are divided?
Well, the State Board of Education will have to approve it. But what's important is that the legislature will have to provide the funding for any changes that happens, right? And that was the big question at the end of the meeting. You know, we have all these ideas, but we need to be realistic and see how we're going to actually implement these things. There's professional development. You need classroom materials.
You might need
new
textbooks.
Yeah. Exactly. And that was one of the complaints with Common Core. You know, folks, liberals and conservatives, supporters, critics said that the rollout could have been better.
Well, we will stay tuned. Rima Crace, WNZ's education reporter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
You can find out a link to Rima's reporting on the proposed changes to North Carolina's public education at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, a documentary shines a light on some forgotten LGBTQ history. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.